Blue Apron Take Back Dinner.
Welcome to the Liars Club. I'm Felicia Michaels.
And I'm Jessica Wellington.
And what we do here at the Liars Club is we have two of our comedy pals come on. We ask them to tell two stories. One is the truth, one is a lie. We try to figure out which one is a lie. Now, normally we stream this live from the Comedy Store's YouTube, but because of the situation that's going on, we're doing it ourselves. Our technical abilities aren't that great. I hope it sounds good enough for everybody. So let's just get the game started because we are a podcast, but we're also a game. Now, Jessica, would you please introduce our guests before I introduce our on-air producers?
Sure, I'd love to. We have a lovely lady here from Sacramento doing a lot of great things. She loves to decorate cakes, and she's a great mom and super funny. Steph Garcia.
Okay. Way to put the information together there, Jessica.
Okay. Anytime. This next gentleman, he is at the Comedy Store all the time. We can't get rid of him. He is a regular on Kill Tony. He is super, super funny. This is Michael Lair.
Hey, everybody. I have a motor neuron disease. If you don't mention that, you'll be distracted the whole time.
All righty. So we do want to say to everyone that has been our fan, been one of our listeners, thank you so much, you guys, for participating with us. And as soon as we can and we get our technical stuff all together, we are going to stream again live. But we just wanted to do a quick game today. And so let's start off with Steph. Now, what we're going to do is Steph's going to tell a story, then Michael Lair is going to tell a story, then Steph's going to tell a story, then Michael Lair is going to tell a story, and Austin Walker, our on-air producer, is going to type out the little stories, and when he, at the end of the podcast, is done typing all the stories and everyone's done telling the stories, he's going to do a recap, and we're going to take a vote. And our other on-air producer, there is Mr. Michael Evans, is also going to play along freestyle in your wilding today, not in your normal little cubby booth, switching the camera around. Mr. Michael Evans, everybody.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. Right. Good to be here.
We're glad that you're here. Okay, Steph, go ahead and start.
Okay. So my husband and I have been together for a long time. And in 1999, we were expecting our daughter. And we were two kids, only been dating a year, a little bit broke. And there was a contest on a radio station. We lived in the Bay Area, so on like Wild 94.9. If you came down and you were willing to shave your genital area, you could win, possibility of winning a guitar signed by Carlos Santana, and actually played by Carlos Santana. And so my
so
husband,
random.
So random, boyfriend at the time, baby daddy, if you will, he volunteered himself to shave his balls on the radio. And that was before podcasts. That was before cameras. I do have a VHS of it. And yeah, he shaved his nuts on the radio for a guitar, thinking that we would be able to sell it when she became of age. So
Okay. That's
my story. All right. I'm sticking
to
it.
Well, I know for a fact that Steph has a great joke about shaving a heart into her pubes.
I do. It did happen. It did. Do I need to tell it now? I usually charge people.
But let me ask you this.
Upside down or whatever.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Jessica. What?
No, go ahead. Good.
Oh, no. What I was going to ask is, how did he go about shaving his balls? Did he lotion up? Was it like cream? Was it a three-blade razor? Razor?
They had just regular, those little plastic razors that you buy for like $5 for 20 of them or something. They just had one of those, and he had to shave it really quick. And actually one of the female DJs was supposed to shave it, but she wouldn't touch him because it's stranger. I mean, I get it. So I ended up shaving them.
You shaved them?
Yeah, I ended up doing it.
Did you nick him? Did you?
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yes.
How many times?
Once.
Yeah.
Just, and but I've always, he never lets me down. He always brings that up. So.
Oh, really?
All right. So he nicked his balls for a guitar for our daughter's education so he could sell it.
Well, did it work? Because now she's in college, right?
She is.
And where's did it work? Guitar? Where's the guitar?
No, apparently no one wants to buy a Carlos Santana guitar at all.
Okay, all right. What are your thoughts, Michael Evans?
I think that I mean, depend. What are you asking for it?
Yeah.
I don't know. Make me an offer.
Ah, man. It's tough to say. What do you think it's worth? Does anybody know what? My thoughts are that this seems totally true because she's got some pube shaving material, and this would be a strange. This would be a strange thing to come up with out of nowhere.
So when let me ask you,
but it would be a strange thing if Steph didn't have any material on shaving pubes.
True.
Let me ask you a question. Now, when you shaved his balls, so walk me through it. Did you lift up his penis and then shave? Like, how? What was the process?
Well, yeah, I got on my knees and I lifted up his penis. And I shaved his balls, and when I went underneath, it nicked a little bit.
Ah.
Okay.
Did he have any hair on the shaft like some guys?
No, because he actually.
You're all angry at the beginning of the podcast. Now all of a sudden you're like,
yeah, she's just like, tell me more.
It can grow pretty high.
don't get it twisted, because I'm still fucking pissed, but I need to know about this hair.
Okay. No hair on the shaft, and just a little bit of hair on the balls.
Lucky guy.
This is the guy that you're married to now?
23 years.
Wow.
I was 10.
Yeah. He seems like a guy that might would have a little hair.
Well, that's the funny part, is his balls are so big, it rubs the hair off. Oh,
wow.
Open that can. You gotta ask your, Jessica, you gotta ask Brian Kral about that story.
Actually, I think I've heard it about how big his balls are.
Yep, it derailed like a whole podcast one time.
What are your thoughts, Austin?
Well, having worked in terrestrial radio, I could very possibly see the shaving of a nutsack being something deemed worthy to win a signed guitar. I have one right here myself, and sorry.
But, I was going to have to get mad, Austin. I was like, no freaking music.
Real quick, though, I am going to live tweet the stories as they come out, so hopefully we'll have some interactions from Twitter. So I'm putting that up right now.
Real Steph Garcia. Okay. That's my handle at Twitter.
Yeah, I've got you on here.
All right, Jessica, what are you doing, by the way? Jessica.
Yeah.
Oh. Maybe you should look up and participate. Okay, Jesus Christ. Jessica.
Am I allowed to say something, or is that not in the format of this fucking show? Like, every month we go around, everyone gets to say something. Jessica doesn't want to talk, and you're trying to get her to say something, yet I stay ignored.
She's so mad she couldn't get the podcast to go live. She's so mad. So this is why she's upset, everybody. All right, so
you
Michael
guys don't realize how long I've taken on it and all the shit I've watched, and I thought I had it, and this is bullshit. Love you. Let's continue.
Okay. I know. She had to get that out. She had to get that out. All right, Michael, let's go to your story. You fucking bitch.
Can I comment on the last one or no?
No.
Please do.
All right. Well, first of all, look, I started as a criminal justice major. I've only been sick for a few years, so I look for clues. shaving competition. Carlos Santana, his it goes smooth. It adds up. It makes sense. I believe this competition existed. And that's it. All right, you want my story?
Yes. Yes.
That was actually really clever.
Your story.
Not trying to be clever, just living life. All right. All right. So I started college as a criminal justice major. But at 19, my girlfriend was a dance major, and she dared me to take a dance class. And then I started studying dance from then on out. I didn't graduate, but I was a few credits short. But I worked professionally in jazz and modern concert dance for the next 8 or so years in Chicago after that.
So you mean you want us to be able to say he should have been a dancer?
Oh, I was, so I don't need to shoulda say shit.
Let me ask you this. Now, what kind of dancing? Was it like ballroom dancing or jazz?
No, jazz and modern, like concert dance. Like, have you heard of like Hubbard Street or Joffrey Ballet?
Right.
Or, yeah, like Pilates. There's different, it's a niche art form for sure, but concert dance, like professional recitals that a little girl would do.
And how much would you get paid to do these professional jazz recitals like little girls would do?
I feel like that question is condescending. Like any job, it would vary on the size of the company, the contract, the tour. In New York, I worked for smaller modern dance companies where the pay was none to a little, like in comedy. But in Chicago, I worked with a touring outfit that would tour probably half the year, and you'd make $300 to $400 a week in the, you know, early aughts.
Okay.
You know what I think is very convenient? Is that we can't ask you to prove it.
How convenient. You know what I think is really fucking inconvenient? Having to come up with a truth and a lie an hour after being invited to do a fucking podcast.
Fair enough. What are your thoughts on this story, Austin?
Well, I have a best friend that I grew up with that's in a wheelchair, and I've never known him to dance ever my whole life. So, when did you get sick? What do you have? Like, why can't you dance now?
I have a form of Lou Gehrig's disease. I got it first sign about 4 years ago. ALS, it means like my brain isn't talking to my muscles, right?
And that was what year that you were in Chicago dancing?
That would be about 98 to 2008.
Wow, that's a lot of dancing.
That's a lot of
dancing.
Yeah. Hey, man, send that dance floor on fire, baby. Ain't nothing left of it.
All right. So, any questions, Jessica? Any more?
Do you do any dancing now? Like any professional wheelchair dancing?
You fucking around with me, right? You trying to play me? You think I'm a punk? You see me around this store? You know I'm not a punk.
No. What kind of
fucking question is that? Of course not. Yeah, I do wheelchair tango when I'm not coming up with Kill Tony jokes. Jessica, go back to being mad.
Nice.
Thank you so much for fucking telling that wiener off. Anyway. All right. So that's a really good story. That's what?
We've got a response on Steph's first story. This was from Enrico Matassa, and he says, it's hard to tell in the tweets because there's so little information given with the amount of characters we have, but he's embracing the challenge, and on veracity value, he's given that story a 6.7. So well done, Steph. Proud of you.
Thank you.
Wow. All righty. Questions about the jazz recitals, like a little girl where he made $300 or $400 a week for 8 years living in Chicago.
What was your favorite song to dance to?
There was a piece to a Sting song that I really like. I fucking forget the name of it now. Oh. No, you ever hear of Sweet Honey in the Rock, gospel a cappella group, real spiritual? That's real, like, really uplifting stuff.
What kind of dance
do
you do to gospel music?
Pardon?
What kind of dance do you do to gospel music?
Well, the music, no matter, it's basically American jazz dance fused with modern elements, which are a lot of floor work with the acrobatic jazz.
Okay.
It's fake.
You think it's fake? Yeah, I didn't. Because when you say floor work, I'm like, that's stripper type dancing. That's like a stripper.
Well, it means you're a stripper and don't know shit about modern dance.
Very true. All right, that's the first great story. Let's move it along, Steph. We're moving on to
Did you say that was a first grade story?
That's what first I heard too.
Great story.
No, she's saying that was a childish ass first grade story.
First great story.
Won't catch Jessica slipping.
We do have
first grade story.
What?
Enrico's chiming back in, and Enrico says he definitely believes the college and ALS parts of that story, but the dancing part of that story is made up.
Why? Ask him why.
I'll inquire for you.
Or you guys.
All right, let's move on to Steph's
favorite movie.
Sorry. No, go ahead, Jessica.
No, I'm good.
Jesus Christ. All right, first passive aggressive person you'll ever want to be.
Yeah, a nice first grade comment. A nice first grade comment from Jess.
I miss you, Jessica.
Go ahead, Stephanie.
Okay, so this is my second story. So before I was a comedian, I worked for a newspaper group in the Bay Area also. And it was a large newspaper group. And what I did is I sold 900 advertising onto the back page, the classified section. And I went to one of the conferences in Vegas where instead of having booths that have all you know, it's not 1-900 anymore. Obviously, it's porn sites and Pornhub and things like that. It used to be just booths with guys behind it and girls talking about their 1-900 line and why we should do a contract with them so that they're in our newspaper all the time. And after talking to some of these people, I was actually offered a very lucrative job becoming a 1-900 operator. And I did it for about 7 months and I made a ton of money. And I had to stop because I laughed too much because the people on the other end are ridiculous. And it's kind of why I got into comedy is because of that job.
Wow. I hope that's true.
Wow. Interesting. So how would you warm it up? How would you warm up a phone call if you had someone that called you? Go.
Okay. Hey, Jessica. What are you wearing? I'm so lonely right now.
I don't have nothing on.
Keep going.
I can't say what I use it because it sounds so.
I'm so horny right now. Can you get me there?
Of course I can. Where are you? Are you on the bed or are you on the floor?
I'm on the bed. I'm ready.
Okay, hang on. Let me jump up there. Oh, sorry. I fell. I'm sorry. I'm not that tall.
You fell on my dick.
I fell right on top of you naked. It's just so hot. So hot.
They answer for the dogs in the back? Or is
yeah, I'm here at the shelter right now.
I have a leash.
Okay. All right. Michael, what are your thoughts on this story of her being a sex phone operator girl?
It's who, me?
Yeah, what do you think of that?
It sounds legit to me.
Are you even old enough, Michael, to have ever called the sex phone line or to have experienced that?
Yeah, I remember commercials like late at night when I was young, but like I don't think it seemed like it never seemed like you were going to talk to a real person. It seemed like something it was like another recording for like if you had another dollar or whatever. So I don't think they were real in my time. So yeah, this might be an older thing than I ever had.
Yeah, well, fuck you. Anyway. What about you, Jessica? Does this sound real to you?
Why did you stop? Is it because that the sex work phone industry is really went down? Or
no, I stopped because my husband shaved his balls on the radio and we got this guitar. And I was I thought I'd make way more money off the guitar than the sex work. No, I got pregnant with Daisy and I just decided that's not something I want to do while I'm a mom.
Come on. She would have never known.
I can't imagine sitting here with my newborn breastfeeding and I'm talking to a guy about his dick. Like, no, I'm good. I didn't need the money that bad.
That's why this story is a lie because I just think if you did it, how long did you do it for? 9 months, you said?
Seven months.
I think that'd be a perfect job for a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah, no shit.
Like there was a Spike Lee movie called Girl Six, mm-hmm. and I actually auditioned for that movie as a sex phone line worker, right? Yes. And I had to go in and on tape, sit there because this is before you would self tape yourself and just be like, yeah, and then I'm gonna suck your dick, you know, like. Yep. And I didn't get the part, but the casting person told my agent I was really good at it.
What's sad is a lot of guys just wanted to talk. They didn't even really care about the sex part. A lot of them, it was like started to be kind of heavy, like a therapy session with some of them. So it was weird.
Wow. Yeah, probably a lot of disabled guys.
No, don't say that because I can see Michael Evans calling right now just for somebody to talk to.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess we'll move on to Michael Lair's second story.
Okay. I just want to say real quick, once again, breaking format. Look, I'm 41. So, in my youth, I dialed once or twice a 900 number.
And
what they do, rude, what they do is they string along, not for an extra dollar. You're going to pay like $60. Yep. And this woman, she kept talking about food. I'm like, I don't care about food.
It was me. It was me, 100%.
Thank you. Let's see. One time when I was, all right. Well, in 2008, I started working for Second City in Chicago. I started working my way up and kind of living a gnarly life. And at the same time, I was screen testing for Saturday Night Live. I was selling drugs and stolen electronics.
Whoa.
Yeah, that jazz dancing did not pay the bills.
$300 or $400 a week, baby. Okay.
All right. So that's, is that the whole of the story?
What do you want to know? I mean, weed and amphetamines, mostly Apple products. I mean, what do you want to know? How to jailbreak a Samsung? I mean, this is eBay shit, all right? You want to know? I mean, you get a porn license and whatever comes in, that blood's not on your hands.
So what was the most popular thing that people wanted to buy?
iPhones. By the fucking pound. Okay. Right. I sold hundreds of phones.
Yeah.
Hundreds of phones and laptops. And, what are those really durable phone cases?
Otterbox.
Yeah! I saw the shitload of those, yeah.
But in 2008, Otterboxes were big business in 2008?
No. Good call. Wait, check me, won't catch me slipping. I started working at Second City in 2008. In 2014, as I made my way up the ladder, where Lorne Michaels and all his people would come watch us, at that time, and he saw me and flew me to New York. At that time, I was selling amphetamines, marijuana, stolen iPhones, and laptops.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, Austin, thoughts?
For some reason, I tend to believe that more than the dancing story. I don't know why. It doesn't look more like a drug dealer or tech dealer than a dancer. Just for some reason, I'm buying that one more.
Okay. Michael Evans.
Dude, I don't know. I'm kind of, it's like timeline-wise, they both got to be true to me to work. So, and that doesn't work. Yeah, he seems so well-versed in the second story that seems like he must have been his shit, is selling drugs and selling electronics.
What the fuck did the first story sound like to you? Well-versed? Are you kidding me?
Hey, you could just throw in a couple fancy dance terms on me. I don't know what the fuck. Yeah, you know?
Yes, try me, motherfucker.
Okay. Jessica?
Yeah. I mean, I'm currently looking for a lighter because I just need to get high, but... this story, I think he might be trying to trick us because, of course... He can still work all the electronics right now, and that's what he does. And he probably knows a lot about electronics, you know? Yeah. But he's holding back on his dance knowledge.
Yeah.
True.
All right. So this is what we're going to do. So we're going to throw this to Austin, and Austin, you're going to go ahead and recap what's going on here.
All right. They're a little shorter than usual because we're dealing with the Twitter restrictions, but... Steph's first story, she's been married forever. In 99, she was expecting, so her husband did a radio contest to win a signed guitar by shaving his sack live on air, so he could in turn sell it for money to raise their kid. They still have the guitar, but no word on the kid. We're not sure. And then Steph's second story, before she was a comedian, she worked for a Bay Area newspaper selling 1-900 ads to hookers and strippers, which eventually led to a lucrative career for herself.
Yep.
That's it.
Okay. I'm going to say the talking dirty 900 girl sex phone line thing is a lie. I'm going to say that's the lie. What is
I'm going to say that the sex worker is true.
You are?
Yeah. I think the sex worker thing is true. And,
right.
And it was just a different artist's guitar.
Yeah.
I don't know who. I think they're both, yeah.
I see you guys both think the sex worker story is true. What about you, Michael Lair? Which one do you think is the lie?
Like, I feel like half my friends in Hollywood doing that porno shit, so I think that's the truth. So, I think the ball shaving is the lie.
Wow, so it's the three of you think that the sex talk girl is the truth. All right, what about you, Austin?
You know, I was going with the first story being true, the ball sack story being true, because of crazy things that I've experienced in FM radio and stuff myself. But I don't know if that's even crazy enough for to win a guitar. I one time had my whole back peeling from like third degree sunburns, and two guys ate my peeling back for Kenny Chesney concert tickets. I'm gonna say.
Wow.
Brutal.
You never share that again.
That's
one. I can get Calvin to send us that footage one day.
Oh, yes, send the footage.
I was underage then too. I was only 17 at the time.
That dude is patient zero.
So Austin, you're telling me that you were sexually harassed, so somebody licked the peeling off your back?
Assaulted.
Yeah, I can to this day feel that guy's goatee beard like right here on my face.
All right. All right, Steph. Which story is the lie?
Which story is the lie?
Uh-huh.
I was never a 900 operator, yes! You guys.
Yes. Uh-huh.
I have the guitar.
Finally.
Oh, yes.
You would have kept that job, wouldn't you?
Huh?
You would have kept that job if you could have, if you did do it.
You're right.
Have you made that good for me?
No, I considered getting into that line of work at one time, so I know a lot about it. I did not go into that line of work. We have not sold this for her college tuition yet, but if anyone wants a Carlos Santana guitar that's signed by him. See?
I got a big old bushy for shame.
You can hit me up. And he did. He shaved his balls for our daughter on the radio, and my boss and everyone heard it, and it was mortifying and hilarious, and it's one of my favorite stories to this day.
Oh, all right, awesome. Let's move on to Michael Lair's two stories, please.
Yes.
Michael's first story. Before being diagnosed with ALS, he was a criminal justice major in college, but his girlfriend was a dance major, so he switched teams to be with her. This led to a career in Chicago as a skilled professional dancer at recitals like little girls would do. his second story, in 2008, Youth Gators were national champions. He started working for Second City in Chicago, and he was living a gnarly life and screen testing for Saturday Night Live while simultaneously selling stolen technical goods. Slinging iPhones by the pound, I believe, was the phrase that he used.
I'm going to say that the dancing story is the lie. Because, I don't know, you just look like...
What does like, he look like, Felicia?
You just look like the kind of guy...
Jesus!
Yeah, you look to me like you're a slick guy. You're slick. I bet you had the talk of the gap. Like you were just like blah blah blah. I think the first story is the lie. The dancing like a little girl. Because how can that be making money just around the Chicago area doing little girl jazz dance recitals? And you said floor work, and I thought that was weird.
You were saying I'm a sneaky Pete.
I'm saying it. You're a sneaky Pete.
Pretty rude. Pretty rude.
Our good buddy Ken Lofgren up in Washington is chiming in on Twitter, and he called the first one. He called Steph's story being a lie, the phone sex story, and now he's saying that Michael's first story, the dancing story, is the lie. So he's with you, Felicia, and I'm okay. Going with y'all. Dancing story is a lie.
Okay. What about you, Jessica?
Well, I think that the dancing story is true, and maybe I'm just fucked up all the way around today, but I think that that's true because he's a lot smoother. You can tell he's a lot smoother than some techie guy, you know?
Yeah but he's slanging. He's not being a techie guy.
He's slanging. Yeah. It had nothing to do with tech.
He said he studied criminal justice at some point and then became a dancer and then started slinging electronics that didn't exist.
Yeah. Maybe he was more slinging drugs than electronics. He said amphetamines and weed, too.
And OtterBoxes.
The OtterBoxes thing, yeah.
So every day.
Now it's
what do you say, Steph? Which one is a lie?
The drug dealing is a lie. The electronics dealing is a lie.
Okay, Jessica, you say?
Yeah, I say that the electronics is the lie.
Michael, refresh my memory.
I'm going to go with that the drugs are a lie, actually.
Okay. Austin?
I think he was a dancer.
Totally.
I don't think he was a dancer.
It's just funnier to think of you as a dancer.
It is. I agree.
It's really funny. So,
Michael Lair, which one is the lie?
My brother was the dancer.
Okay. Okay. Wow.
So he really was slanging otter boxes.
Again, man. Since I was 5, trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents.
Well done.
Well done. Well, thank you guys so much for spending your afternoon when you had absolutely nothing else to do.
Seriously, nothing.
And Jessica, I'm glad to see you're finally fucking smiling, you fucking mean bitch. Look, she might be signing off. Look, you have such an evil face when you focus, by the way, Jessica. You're like,
I thought Jessica hated me until I was invited to do this podcast.
I don't mean to hurt your feelings. I know. I was going to say.
Jessica, I miss you. I wish I could give you a big hug.
I miss you.
I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of everything. I follow your story. I've known her for a long time. And I'm just so proud of you and just what you're doing. And just, God, I love you. I'm just sending you lots of love, girl. Just so proud.
I've known her just long enough.
I'm super fucking sick. What the hell are all you talking about? Like, fucking A.
See, we can't both have
the real.
Oh, you guys are all awesome. Thank you very much.
And you have been lied to.
When I'm home, I don't want to run errands or have to figure out a meal plan, especially because I have kids. That's why Blue Apron is a great solution. Their chef-designed recipes are easy to follow and give you a balanced, delicious meal. Blue Apron is a quick and easy way to make high-quality meals that everyone can enjoy. Use promo code LIARS to get $30 off your first order. Blue Apron, take back dinner.
I'm not telling that
one. Disney, believe you. You're the real liar. Please stand up.